Thank you, everyone, for listening to Thank You For Being a Podcast. We are the Golden Girls Podcast, the podcast in which we watch an episode of the Golden Girls, and then we break it down scene by scene. I'm Anthony DeSamito.
I'm Genevieve Rice.
And today, we have a very... Sorry, I'm burping. We have a very awesome guest. We've been waiting to have him for, let's say, the entire time we've had this podcast. Give it up for the very awesome Jeff Liebman.
Hey. I'm assuming the my husband.
Listener is applauding. Hi, Jeff.
It's true.
How does it feel to be on the other side?
Wow, I've been witnessing this podcast be recorded in our house for years, and I've never hopped in to participate, so I'm glad to join into the fun.
Yeah, is this the first episode of Golden Girls you've seen all the way through?
No, I've seen some other ones all the way through. It's actually really funny. One of the ones I remember watching through was the one with the audition at Juilliard, and I thought, oh, I should be commenting on this one. Because this is the most ridiculous music audition that I've ever seen. This is not how it goes. Right.
It is not. There are not three Juilliard panelists in an abandoned warehouse judging for the entire school every single program.
Right. It's like we judge for music. Oh, we judge for drama. Whatever. We're Juilliard. We do what we want.
They didn't even spin on their chairs. That pissed me off. So we always ask our guests, what is their Golden Girls background? I don't know if I know of yours. Do you have a Golden Girls background prior to this entire podcast?
Okay, so I'm going to drop some knowledge or lack thereof on Genevieve here. I remember watching the Golden... not really knowledge, but I'm going to drop this...
Ooh, secrets!
No, I started that off wrong. I'm going to display my Golden Girls ignorance and admit something that I've never seen to... that I've never mentioned to Genevieve. So when I was a kid and watched episodes of the Golden Girls... For some dumb reason, I thought that there were two Sophias and there were twins.
You thought it was like Michelle on Full House?
You thought that you were watching Full House?
I have no idea why I thought that there were two of them.
In that they would both be characters on the show, or they would switch off like the Olsen twins?
No, they were like both characters on the show and that they were sharing the screen simultaneously. I guess I was just a dumb kid. I don't know.
Just like all old ladies look alike to you.
They're just like,
I don't know. Maybe there was a twin joke or a twin situation that made you feel that way. Like, or another TV show where... there was similar situation, and then you're just combining them. Maybe you're watching Tia and Tamara, and you...
you were watching Sister really... Sister, and you got it confused with Golden Girls.
You were watching both at the same... You were just, like, out of it one night, and had, like, a dream after a long night of Golden Girls and Sister, and I think that's what happened.
A lightning storm came up, was happening at the time, that forever merged in your mind.
Yeah, probably it was a good lightning storm. I don't have any good reason for it, to be honest, so.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so.
Well.
To Sophia twins. I mean, I didn't know what their names were. Like, I didn't know if it was like Sophia 1 or Sophia 2, or just that they had two different names or something dumb like that. It makes no sense. Anyway, so this is definitely not knowledge. This is Golden Girls ignorance. I don't think I really had, I remember coming across this show, but I don't think when I was a kid I really had a sense of... kind of the spirit of the Golden Girls. I was just kind of like, these are old ladies and I'm a young boy. This has nothing to do with me. So I don't think I really associated much or connected much with it. And as an adult though, I just, I look at the show and I think, wow, this is really funny. And these are interestingly drawn characters. And I love, I mean, it's a really, to me, looking at it now, it's a really progressive show because I like how it deals with dating and sexuality with these older ladies and just things that you wouldn't necessarily associate with being on TV in the 1980s. So I think it's, and so not only is it kind of a progressive subject matter, I feel like, for the time, but it's also good. It's like a really good show. And oddly, I think it really, I think it passes the test of time. I actually think it ages very gracefully.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Pun intended.
Pun intended. Yes. Yeah.
Pun intended. Everything you said is absolutely correct. And it's still, I will add to that, that it's still one of the only shows that can successfully do that. Hmm. Like right now, like if there's an old character, you know, there's a bunch of young characters that, you know, they can't, there's just not a show with an old cast. It's just, there hasn't been one since. I mean, except for like, what's that show? Man of a Certain Age. I think that was like the male Golden Girls.
Yeah, a little bit. Because those were all men that were in their 50s or like late 40s and early 50s. Yeah. Maybe getting on, maybe a little bit of getting on, but that's still like old people like in a hospital.
That's putting them in a stereotype era, yeah. Surrounding.
Even Cocoon had a Steve Guttenberg to bring in the young audience.
They need to make Cocoon like the series. That would have been amazing.
Cocoon the series.
I think there was.
Was there?
I believe there was Cocoon TV series. Like, I don't think it, obviously it wasn't super popular. And I might be lying, but...
Hey, Genevieve, I think that might be the Sophia's twin for you. I think you're just making that up.
Well,
I think Tia and Tamara were in Cocoon the series.
If they had TV shows for Harry and the Hendersons and Parenthood. Parenthood had a... Before the Parenthood of the 2000s, there was the Parenthood of the 90s. Starring Ed Begley Jr. as the dad.
I never seen the Parenthood series. Is it still on? Did it get canceled?
But yeah, both Parenthood TV series have ended at this point. I didn't see the more serious one, unfortunately. I don't know.
Oh,
it's on Netflix. So if you like it, you can write in and admonish me for. Not checking it out.
I have never heard of Cocoon, this series. We'll have to see.
Okay.
We'll have to see if this is real or if this is it's not called real.
Cocooning Around. And it's really everybody's just wearing like silk cocoon covers and waiting to become butterflies.
Everyone's caterpillars.
The first season, they're caterpillars. And
the show never made it to a second season, so they were still caterpillars at the end of the show. They were like, this wasn't supposed to happen.
We never became cocoons.
Yeah.
It was a sad, sad show. Okay, so we watched... I don't know how you felt because I wasn't there. For the listener, I'm in Cali on my bed and all halfway across the country, I guess. Genevieve and Jeff are in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So this is like the first non-Arizona episode, do you think?
Yeah, on my end, I guess. Well, I guess we had our car-isode. Our car-isode was in New Mexico.
Oh, you're right. No, so I lied.
And we had Austin, so no, that's a lie.
That's true. That is a lie. Okay.
Maybe the
first Oklahoma podcast.
There you go. Yeah. All right.
There's like 10 10 ways I'm wrong, but okay, we'll move on. Okay,
yeah, so Anthony, we watched the Electoral College would disagree with you. Look at all those states you forgot about, Anthony.
Yeah,
let's not talk about that.
I'm sorry Florida.
I even brought it up. I apologize. Sophia's twin apologizes.
So, speaking of the election, this episode is called Clinton Avenue Memoirs.
Oh, no.
And I know. And then season five, episode 16. The original air date is February 3rd, 1990. And as we do with every episode, Genevieve is going to spiel a brief synopsis of what we watched for the listener who was not in Oklahoma City, in Genevieve's parents' house, or in my bedroom. Go ahead, Genevieve.
Well, Sophia is losing her memory. She forgot her wedding anniversary, so she and Dorothy decide to go back to Brooklyn and to their apartment to jog her memory. So, Rose and Blanche decide to work on a project together because Blanche is trying to earn some extra money, and they're trying to do this survey for elderly medical scams. So it's a yeah. So that's about it.
Yay! Great synopsis. Okay, can we talk about the title? What did you guys think that this was going to be about? I thought it was going to be about Bill Clinton. I don't know why 1990 it wouldn't apply, but I was like,
he was alive. I don't know. I honestly, I didn't give it too much thought. I just thought like Clinton Avenue, I think is a Monopoly street. Isn't it?
Is it?
I don't think so. I could be wrong.
God, I'm full of half truths today.
Well, there are. Do you mean like a monopoly property?
Yeah, I think it's like a monopoly property. I think.
I don't think so.
It sounds like a very possible thing.
So is it? I actually didn't know the title before the episode. Is the implication that is the address of the Brooklyn?
Yeah, I think so.
The address of the apartment in Brooklyn that Sophia and Dorothy used to live in with Salvatore.
That's what I assumed at the very end, but at the very beginning, I was like, I'm waiting for Hillary to pop up or like Bill to pop up. Like I thought.
Waiting for a recount.
I was waiting for a moment in the Golden Girls podcast for it to all come full circle, but it didn't happen, and it's fine. So woe is me. We start off with Blanche, who says woe is me. I feel like that's the
tone of Blanche in just about every episode. She has the least problems of anybody in this episode, and she comes in with so much anguish.
She sounds like a Charles Dickens character. She's like, just no one talks the way she does.
Yeah.
Although, can I say, a $300 haircut in 1990? Whoa.
Genevieve, what is the most... I paid very little for my hair because I can just go get... I can just tell them, give me the butch flannel, and then they get the job done. And then... But how much... What's the most you've paid for your hair?
I think the most I've paid for a straight up haircut is about $60, and then probably $20 tip, so about $80. So $300 is quite pricey, I agree. But for like color, I've paid over $100. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
I've heard up to $90 for a hair situation, which involved a lot of things like bleaching and root covering and like
time travel,
time travel, a dime bag, you know, it all came full circle. And yeah, I agree with you completely. That is what Robert is ripping everybody in Miami off. I want to meet this Robert. I don't trust him.
He's kind of made the shade. He's the dude, apparently.
Yeah.
There's also a situation in St. Olaf where he's the first man to... Okay, first of all, the first man to ever use a moose. That moose was around way before then.
Well, so Rose says, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, Rose, they're using moose a long time ago in St. Olaf. Not clear which part of the moose, Rose says.
I would say the brains. They use moose brains to lather a coif.
That's probably the best use of brains in that town.
That is a Dorothy line if I heard one.
Upon further review, I think it's kind of ironic that this episode is about Sophia forgetting things and then Dorothy hits her housemate in the head. It's just inducing, you know, I don't know if newspapers can cause concussions, but
I think if you hit her in the head 20 times a day, every day for 4 years, then I think you would do damage.
It's possible. It's possible. Well, I don't remember which section of the newspaper it was, but looked like
they said the coupons, something that's heavy.
Yeah.
Sports.
Yeah, I think it was the coupon section.
I don't understand your newspapers and your news is on non-computer pieces of paper anymore. So
the people back then now, used to use them for hitting.
Yeah. Apparently it was like the switch of 1990.
I've hit somebody with a newspaper before.
Nowadays you just throw someone's phone in the pool. That's how you cause brain damage. That makes no sense. Okay. I'm just trying to think of like how people watch their news, like read their news. Like you can't hit them in the head with their tablet. Give me your tablet. No. New York Times. Washington Post. And then you hit them in the head with it. But also, Blanche needs to get her hair done. I'm also concerned about how much money she makes, considering that she only works 12 hours a week.
She's working her fingers to the bone those 12 hours a week, clearly.
Yeah.
She's pointing to concession stands and exhibits. And...
She's like one drop of sweat is like coming down her brow and she's like fanning herself profusely and going like, oh my gosh, I need to sit down. She's so funny.
When did she become a concierge? I didn't know. Because there's an episode, and Genevieve, you might remember, where she was a secretary at the museum.
Yeah, maybe she got a demotion.
Maybe she just couldn't cut it because she's just started hitting on everybody on the phone.
Yeah, she was like a secretary and like an event planner, and now she's running the front desk, it sounds like.
Yeah. And I'm sorry to go to other episodes, but I'll do one more. Sorry, Jeff. One more. Okay, the Enrique Mas episode. Rose was supposed to get an assistant a long time ago.
Yeah, that's remember? Right. Yeah.
And she offers Blanche the job, 3 months later? Like, this makes no sense.
Blanche didn't need a haircut back then.
So her hair made her look
The whole ill-conceived marriage between the colleagues of Blanche and Dorothy was not necessary back when her hair was just perfect.
It did not involve... Yeah, this is... Her hair looked fine back then, so then that whole situation just came to a halt. Came to a halt. Okay, so Sophia needs to go to the mall because she has a bet who has the highest blood pressure. It's their racetrack. This blood pressure. It is...
That's a pretty good use of a blood pressure machine, I gotta say.
Yeah, make some money. Everybody's like gathered around the blood pressure machine with like dollar bills and like and he's like, come on, do it, get it, Esther, you can do it. And then she's like,
they all holding give, in her they breath. All give themselves horse names.
Lucky. Luscious Lips. I don't know. Is Luscious Lips a horse's name?
I don't know. Like it. Like a Sticky.
Okay. So she's gonna go. She wants to go have fun at the mall. That's where all the old people are. The throwing dollars at each other.
In fairness, you know, it was the early 90s. We all wanted to go to the mall to have fun.
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the mall was the place. Okay, and so Sophia forgets that it's the Friday, it's her late husband's anniversary, and Dorothy gets mad. I'm like, let her do what she wants. Like, why do you, if she's over it, let her go do have fun. Like, I don't know. So I think Dorothy was just like, I don't know. I think the problem was with Dorothy.
In a way. I think she was... I didn't get that she was mad. I thought she was just concerned. She was like, well, don't you want... I mean, instead of your fun blood pressure betting system, don't you want to go out to dinner and celebrate your wedding anniversary? I think she was just concerned that she forgot. I mean, they were married for so long, but I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I also like, I'm a normal aged person and I forget about things like I don't know.
You forget you're married?
But you're not dead, Jeff. You're not dead.
I mean, I forget, like, what day my... I mean, I would remember the date, but I wouldn't line it up necessarily with, like, the day of the week. It would be like, oh, yeah, that's Friday, you know? I wouldn't necessarily...
you guys always remember your anniversaries. Because I always hear about them.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that. It's funny that you say that. It's something I never thought about before Genevieve and I got married is our anniversary is April 13th. And I'm a teacher. And the end of November, beginning of December, and like the basically all of April are just terrible times for teachers to break away and do stuff. So every year I'm just like, oh, I don't have time to do anything. Why did we get married then? And I was never thinking that for like the time we got married, but the anniversary, it's kind of hard.
Well, I think the last two years.
Can you change your anniversary?
Well, we got to get divorced and remarried first.
Yeah. We get married again. You can, if you get like one of those remarried, like if you have a wedding during the summer, like a re-wedding. You know that?
Yeah, like renew our vows. 70s or, have. Yeah.
You renew your vows. A re-wedding.
I like redo. Your term.
A re-wedding.
A re-wedding. I think the last 2 years we've been in different cities.
That's kind of how we roll, unfortunately.
I say within the next couple years, renew your vows during the summer and just change it.
Change our wedding anniversary. That's interesting. I guess we can decide to do whatever we want to decide to do. We can just tell ourselves that it's, you know,
kill yourselves?
We could. No,
I didn't go that. I don't want to.
No, no, we can tell ourselves.
Don't kill yourselves.
We can tell ourselves. No. We can tell ourselves oh, that it's a sorry. Different day.
We'll kill ourselves.
I thought you said.
That's our version of rewetting.
Kill yourselves. Yeah. I'm like, don't do that. That's a drastic.
Yeah, okay. No, no. That's.
Is it sad or is it kind of sweet?
Oh. Oh. But it, like the Notebook, like where they both die on the same bed at the same time.
Okay, that's pretty sweet. I was thinking more of like a murder-suicide.
But... Okay, like a Romeo and Juliet thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, great. Great. Yeah, my wife, she's got ideas.
Yeah, she's the brain. Yeah.
If I may, one of the things I thought was funny is like, Dorothy says, "Oh, Sophia, she's clearly getting all agitated about this because she's making smart, angry quips." Like, she never does that on every other day.
She's so offended by... She, yeah. This is so unlike her to be sassy.
Right.
It got me. And then it's so weird that she goes right... Like, Dorothy's like, oh, she's losing her memory. She's losing it all. And then Sophia goes straight to the photo album where she continues to not remember anything, like, or fragments of things. You know, I was like, I think she just wants a free ride to Brooklyn. I think she's like, I'm faking this. I'm like, I just want to go back to the old house and I'm going to guilt my daughter into, you know, getting me to go. I think that's it.
So can I ask the two of you, how much do you personalize the kind of plight of the different Golden Girls characters about this is what your life is like when you get older and you like put yourself into that mindset and think like, is it going to be like
all
this?
All the time.
Yeah. Like, all the like time. Pretty much like, you know, sometimes I use,
I think.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I just use their lives as a template. I mean, first of all, fashion wise, so I'm like, all right, yeah, I like what Blanche does. So like, that's a good fashion plan, I think. So, mm-hmm.
I just, you know, and I think my mom is starting to go through some health problems, and she's having a lot of issues with chronic pain and. And she's so sharp mentally, and I remember my grandmother, and my grandmother was, by the time I was kind of old enough to really know her, this is my mom's mom, she was both frail physically and starting to deal with Alzheimer's, and I think about, I just think how hard it would be to start losing your memories. And I don't have a great memory right now. I forget lots of dumb stuff, and I might need to meet somebody a couple times before I can remember names, because I meet a lot of people as a teacher. I meet a lot of new students every year, and then I meet students.
That's normal, though.
Yeah, it's I'm definitely in the normal range. But I think about what it would be like to really profoundly start losing your memory, and I mean, it's really sad.
My mom takes care of people with Alzheimer's, mm-hmm, and so she constantly tells me like, yeah, all these white people are losing their minds. It's all the white people. And I'm like, what? And then she says something really racist, like, it's because they spent their whole lives using the microwave. See, we cook on the stove, and those rays just blew their brains out. And then so I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. And so, I mean, that's what I think of when this kind of stuff.
Wow, that's a new stereotype. White people use the microwave.
And well, the cereal.
Not all white people.
Not all white. Hashtag, not all white people use a microwave. Hello, mom. But she, and then she also thinks because they ate cereal instead of cooking like a healthy breakfast, their brains got mushed. And so, but to turn that around the way you apply it, to think that my mom would be losing her mind, I can't imagine. I can't imagine. She's so sharp right now, and she's still in her 50s. She's still very young, you know, so who knows, you know? But yeah, I think about that stuff. I don't know about you, Genevieve. It's definitely something to think about.
Yeah. My grandma is starting to show the beginning signs of Alzheimer's. So, I definitely, it's sad.
It's one of the saddest diseases, I feel like.
My grandma started losing her mind, and she would like start knitting clothes for she was a knitter. She started knitting clothes for all the dolls in the house because she thought they were babies, which I thought was adorable. I was like, oh. But
If I can hop back a little bit, talking about your mom and her casually racist comment.
Yes.
we didn't escape an entire episode with a little bit of casual racism when they go to Brooklyn and open up the door.
Yeah.
And there's a Hispanic man, and Sophia's like, oh,
and he's like, oh,
they both were like, I don't know. She probably used to beat that kid in that neighborhood when they were little. She was like, get out of here, you know, like little Puerto Rican.
That's what brought it all back.
Or they were lovers.
So is there some kind of implication that like Italian people, I'm thinking like racial stereotypes around circa 1990, is there some kind of stereotype?
Well, Brooklyn one block was Italians, one block was Puerto Rican, and one block was Black. It was very like they never mixed. So for
integrated.
Yeah. And so for her to see like a Puerto Rican in her home is like, what? You know, this is just something that never happened, you know?
Now but I was wondering because then that gentleman says twice, don't steal anything. And I was like, is there anything racially tinged in this too? Because it seems like we're going there. Or is it just that there's two unexpected guests in their house?
Right. The tables have turned. Now he's got a 9-to-5 job. That little Puerto Rican kid grew up and made something of himself. Freaking Lin-Manuel style, even though he came from a lot of privilege. I forgot. Sorry. That's a bad reference. Anyway, so.
But that's a nice apartment in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't keep a lot of the original finishes, but.
What?
They
somehow didn't make it. Sorry to interrupt, Jeff, but they somehow didn't keep any of the finishings, but they somehow made it look exactly the same. Like it looked like old people, like people from the 20s still live there, even though it was different, you know? Like, okay, we'll get into that. We're skipping it. We need to go back. But Jeff, okay. Where were you?
Sorry.
What did you want to say? I'm sorry.
Oh, I just like I used to live in New York City, and it was Manhattan, not Brooklyn, for about 3.5 years. And one of my funny frustrations and/or realizations about TV shows is, you know, this discussion in Golden Girls about like, I don't know how Salvatore kept meat on the table every night, you know, on his relatively low income. And then walk into the apartment and it's huge. Like anybody can afford a place in New York that's that big.
Yeah.
That's like Bill Clinton's place in New York.
Clinton Avenue. And
there you go.
This is bring it back. This is why I love Friends. And I didn't love Friends, but I love this part about Friends is that Courtney Cox's character, Monica, everybody was like, the entire series, everybody was like, how can she afford that if she's a chef? How can she afford that huge loft? But at the beginning of the series, her grandma gave it to her. It was,
yeah,
it was given to her,
right?
If there's a loophole or some sort of even just one line of dialogue, it can salvage the entire story. That's the power of writing, guys.
Well, I mean, it's pretty consistent though. This, like, if you look across the, you know, the New York shows, just nobody wants to depict an actual economically appropriate apartment for people living in New York, because nobody wants to look at that kind of claustrophobic hellhole, right, for like years and years of a show.
I think Jerry's show was probably the most, even though it wasn't likely, the most accurate in that sense, because his apartment was tiny.
Seinfeld? Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
My apartment was like 280 square feet, and I lived there for 3.5 years. I had a view of an air shaft. It was way better than the first apartment I got for my first month, but that's a whole other story. It's just bad, you know?
Yeah.
I knew so many people that moved out there, and there were like 4 people living in a 2-bedroom apartment. It was just, it was like, you know, we were in our 20s, but we were like living in orphanages, basically.
I heard this story about this kid that just moved there, and I guess there's a theater in Brooklyn that has like a, they converted like a back dressing room into an apartment, and it's 60 square feet. He can't stand up in it. Like fully, and he can't make noise in the apartment from 8 to 5, and they pay something like $300 a month for basically a closet.
Oh my god, that drives me insane. That drives me insane. And you know what I think started it?
You know what a great deal that closet is?
I know, right?
I think what started it was I Love Lucy. I Love Lucy was like, this is the show. That is the first real 3-camera sitcom. Takes place in New York. And they have a huge apartment. And he's just a musician. He's a musician at a nightclub. That you can't.
It's a good, yeah.
That used to be a semi-reasonable job, possibly.
Maybe back, do you think back then that was a prestigious job? Because like, sort of famous, right? He was a little famous.
He was a band leader, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, potentially, you know, more likely that would be lucrative than it is today.
I think
as a music person, that's my take.
I think Lucy came from money. That's what I think. There is some sort of stock or some sort of income, or their parents are helping them, like gave her a trust fund. She has to. I don't know. They never discussed that in I Love Lucy, but she liked to spend money. She came from money. She loved things. Anyway, so we're getting off track. Okay. So the next scene, Blanche comes in and she's been playing tennis. She hasn't been working. There's a huge stack of papers that she has to call people and like, she's doing like marketing research, right? That's what I'm assuming. That's what's happening.
Yeah, she's calling seniors and she's asking them questions.
And then she just wants to get some. She's finding some dudes. And you know what? I did marketing research. I always thought, you know, maybe the guy on the other end was hot. But I never did anything about it, you know. It was mostly when I did marketing research, you know who wanted to talk the most? It was women over 40. They would do the surveys. Yeah. The older the women, the more they wanted to talk and do the surveys. And then one day I asked my boss why, and he said it's because nobody has asked them their opinion their whole lives. And I was like, oh, that's dark. Okay. Wow. Yeah. Sad world right, we live
yeah,
in.
Yeah, wow. Makes sense. Sorry, we're finally asking your opinion, and it's really about diet pills, but...
Yeah. So, yeah. So, Dorothy takes her to the doctor. She's, Sophia. The doctor says, a diet will fix everything. This brain food or whatever, what kind of diet do you think this is? This is a diet that is going to reverse memory loss or prevent it? Like, I don't, like, you just ate too many pastas growing up? I don't. You can't use a microwave. Stop using the microwave.
I think he probably was like, hey, stop drinking a jug of wine a week.
Stop smoking your ganja, for crying out loud.
And hey, Gerard Depardieu, you probably shouldn't have those 8 bottles of wine a day.
Is Gerard Depardieu losing his brain? Is he
Gerard Depardieu, reportedly a couple years ago, he said that he drinks like 10 to 12 bottles of wine a day.
Oh my God.
There was like this whole article about, he's like, yeah, for breakfast I have 2 bottles, and then there's a, and then maybe a mid-afternoon snack of a bottle of wine, and...
But why wine?
A salad and then 2 more bottles and
a salad. You think a salad? You think he's gonna eat a salad?
He's he wants eating to keep it healthy.
He's eating he's having a hungry man between bottles.
I mean, let's be honest, right? It's just like leafy greens and grapes, right? Everything we just described.
Yeah, leafy greens and grapes, wine. Yeah, everything between wine bottles is approved by Amy's organic burritos. Okay, so so Sophia decides that she's gonna leave for Brooklyn. It's not something she has to do. No, it's not something she wants to do. It's something that she has to do. Because today is my anniversary and I want a free trip to Brooklyn.
Well, free for her. Dorothy paid for it.
Dorothy paid
for
it.
How did Dorothy pay for it? So for an older woman that is apparently starting to lose her faculties, she sure very quickly bought some plane tickets on Dorothy's dime rather expertly. So that
within 36 hours.
Yeah, that was pretty slick.
Yeah. She knows how to scam. She knows how to scam a lady. She's okay. They get.
But Dorothy ain't mad. She goes along with it.
Yeah.
She seemed like she was pretty upset, and it was obvious she wanted to do something for her mom. And you know, then her mom kind of took it into her own hands and was like, "I just spent a bunch of your money," and she's like, "Okay."
She's like, well, someone needs to come with me. It's going to be you. So,
yeah.
All right. And Dorothy's just like, okay.
What did she say? She said, like, when I walk to the end of the driveway, it's not clear that I'm going to make it back.
Is that what she said? She said
something
that?
Like that? Yeah. Yeah. It was why she needed somebody to come with her. So
she laid it down thick. She was like, I don't even remember what she said at the before the commercial break, but she was like, I sometimes wake up, I don't even know who I am. Like, it's just sad. It is a very sad. Yeah. She wanted to play stickball. She wanted to go.
Don't we all?
You had to bring me in, folks. You had to bring me in on a sad episode.
Sad episode. Or is it a scam episode?
Kind of a sad episode. It was kind of sad. Or at least it was like a sentimental episode or something.
Or is it a scam-isode where it's just a big scam? It was
so,
really...
So you're saying that Sophia just wanted to go to Brooklyn and party?
We want to go to Brooklyn and look behind the door. I think that my ghost husband is going to appear on my bedroom floor. We go to Brooklyn. We go to Brooklyn. Okay. All right. I sing once per episode.
Thanks for keeping going with that.
Yeah. Good job.
Yay. No, but then I think about the ghost and I'm like, okay, maybe it wasn't a scam. Unless that was like this light trick. I think I'm wrong.
Okay.
Okay.
Nice.
All right, so
it would be the very first time we're wrong on this podcast.
So they get to the they're in the Brooklyn house, and this guy, this Puerto Rican guy is just like, I've been to a Puerto Rican's house. There was no altar. There was no Virgen de Guadalupe candles. There was no serapes, no calaveras. There was no there was nothing. Like, there was, it seemed like their house from the 20s. They were just like, oh, we like it this way. There was a World War II black and white portrait in the back.
Maybe they're just not into decorating that much.
Perhaps. Perhaps.
He just bought the place. He was like, you know, I kind of like it how it is.
Yeah.
I'm lazy. I'm not going to do any decor. I'm just going to take this. This is nice. That's what I would do if I walked into like a fully furnished place. I'd just be like, all right, this will work for me.
Well,
it's a freaking, like I was saying earlier, it's a freaking mansion in New York.
Yeah. The first thing he did was, that guy did, was probably just turn on the TV. Watch sports.
Yeah, definitely. It's he was like, I was like, okay, they're gonna go what time, they're gonna go ice skating? That was a little weird for me. Like, he's just gonna grab a pair of ice skates, like his family already has ice skates.
Like, I thought he was just grabbing a coat.
Was he?
Yeah, I don't think they have ice skates.
he grabbed a pair of ice skates.
Oh, he does? Okay, all right.
He does, and he says, Puerto Ricans can ice skate. Like, that's a line he says.
Yeah, so if you're Puerto Rican and ice skate, let us know. You're old and white, let us know if you use the microwave.
Yeah.
Or if you used to use the microwave and a bunch of terrible things happened.
Oh, yeah. My mom, yeah. I have to, sometimes I correct her. Sometimes, what's the point? Okay, so he keeps saying, don't take anything. Don't take anything, Lucy. And
he says it twice.
Yeah. They look sketchy. Sketchy AF. And can we talk about this flashback?
I mean, look, there's a long-standing history of mom plus grandma scams, okay?
But this is my
grandmother. She doesn't remember anything except how to steal everything in your house.
He knows. He can tell. She used to beat him when he was little. And he leaves them alone. He's like, you let strangers into your house. I don't care what they look like. You don't leave them alone. Show them around the house. You walk around with them. You don't go upstairs to really disappear. Because
To me, I thought the thing that was kind of interesting about that. Now, what is the idea that he was still somewhere in the house, or did he leave at some point in the middle?
He went upstairs.
So is the idea that are we supposed to think that he went upstairs to another bedroom? That there's another bedroom in this place where he went to the upstairs bathroom? Because they went into his bedroom, what is probably his bedroom, and he wasn't there. So I'm telling you, I just keep talking about this. This guy's lived in New York. This place is a freaking mansion.
He went to the third floor.
Okay.
He went to the...
He was hanging in the sauna on the third floor.
He was going through the jewelry, guys.
Yeah.
Whether he lived there or not, he was a very nice guy. I'm just going to say that. And
he actually ended up helping Sophia quite a lot by giving her some time.
Yeah. If somebody came to your house and said, "We used to live here. Can we look around? What would you guys do?"
Oh, if they're people that we bought the house from, I would say no because they were assholes. But but I guess the family that lived in it before, like originally, like in the 70s, was like a Mormon family with like 6 or 7 kids.
Oh, there might be a child, a grown child or grown, you know what I mean, come to your door.
Yeah. And I've had that happen one time when I was in Girl Scouts. I was selling cookies and in my neighborhood, and this, I got to talking to this woman, and basically she asked me where I lived, and I told her, and she goes, "That's my old house. I used to live there. I built the back room, and basically I had 4 boys and, you know, this 2-bedroom house." And like, so it happens. It's kind of fascinating. Like people are open to it. I don't know.
How old were you?
I think it was 8, maybe.
Oh, wow.
She was just pulling a mom and grandma scam on you.
She
didn't
know it. She wanted.
She's like, it's she still wanted some
free
kitchen.
Cookies. She wanted those Thin Mints, son.
She's like, it still has a kitchen and those floors, and
you're like, yes,
yeah.
We got to keep Rose away from the mom and grandma scam. She'd get scammed every time.
Monica Scott, funny comic from LA. She has a great story where her family sold a house to this woman that was on Star Trek, their family home. And then one day they decided to go back and they were looking through the gates to see how it changed. And the woman came out and was like, "Do you guys want a tour?" This actress. And so what ended up happening is Monica stole a pair of her sunglasses while she was giving them a tour.
What?
Yeah. So she was a klepto teenager.
Come on.
It's a great,
oh my gosh,
great story.
Don't steal anything. Isn't that the moral of this episode?
Yeah. I know. The moral of the story is don't steal anything. But they stole our hearts. Okay. So this flashback.
Can we go before the flashback? Yeah. So when Jennifer and I were watching the episode, I haven't seen previous episodes with Salvatore. And I asked Genevieve, I said, "So how tall is Salvatore?" And Genevieve says, "Not that tall." And I'm thinking, then how in the world did, like, tall Dorothy happen? And I was kind of glad they kind of made a joke about it in the episode. They're like, sibling's height. Here's my height way up here. I was like, oh, okay. At least they kind of made a joke about this.
So that was like her in fourth grade. That was, she skyrocketed. It's a weird thing, but both my parents were like, my mom is like 4'10" and my dad was like 4'5". So I came out tall. compared to them. And I'm super short.
Well, Jeff is, I mean, your mom's how tall? Like 5'1"?
Yeah.
And your dad's like 5'10"?
Maybe like 5'10". And I'm like almost 6'3". So I guess it can happen, but you know.
Yeah.
But Dorothy and Sophia, that's a serious height thing.
Yeah, there was a whole adoption episode.
There was a tall lady in Sicily they thought might be Dorothy's mom for a while.
This was a real subplot?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is just, I'm largely a Golden Girls ignoramus. I think there's two Sophias. I didn't know about the adoption story. Like I said, you get what you pay for with me. Sorry.
No need to apologize. This is a safe space for any level Golden Girl. It's fine.
There was a Cocoon TV show.
Genevieve has a great memory. If Genevieve thinks there was a Cocoon TV show, there probably was a Cocoon TV show.
Yeah.
I think I Googled it, and I think I may have seen something like that because I have several times Googled Cocoon, the movie, because it's come up so many times in the show. They make jokes about Cocoon. It feels
very plausible. Like, I mean, I feel like if they didn't, they should have. So
they should have.
Maybe they should do one now.
They should, our version, and so they do a flashback, one flashback, and it's their lovely home back in the 20s. And like, Dorothy, no, Phil is a little baby. He's wearing girl clothes. Oh, we skipped over that prom dress joke, but we'll go back to that. And Dorothy, as a little girl, comes in and just grabs a plate and then breaks it on the ground. I was like, this is a problem child. Like, I would never do that. Thinking back, I would never do that to my parents. Like, that's just weird. Like, that is a lot of anger. That's a lot of anger for a child to have.
Yeah, like breaking a plate like in the middle of the kitchen, like with another child, like a day old child, like around, like that's
looking that at your parents.
And that child was born in a cesarean section in a cab.
Yeah.
Wasn't that the joke? Cab. Wasn't that the joke you made?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looking your parents dead in the eyes and breaking a plate. This is like. Some exorcist shit. Like, this is not good. Like,
yeah, that's some
there's some problems.
You know what though? I can imagine, you know, somebody, I can imagine a kid as smart as Dorothy, you know, getting pissed off about something and just like, you know, she's smart enough to know that plate's going to take forever to clean up. And she's going to, like, exert the maximum damage.
Makes it even worse.
It seems like something Kid Dorothy would do. I kind of believed it, so.
I thought of the good son situation where, like, she throws a baby down the well. Did you ever watch The Good Son?
Yeah, I did. Macaulay Culkin and classic.
Elijah Wood! And they throw that dummy over the bridge. It causes a car accident. Jeff, did you ever watch The Good Son?
I didn't see The Good Son. It was was it? Okay, so was it kind of like really recently post Home Alone where Macaulay Culkin was like, hey, agent, I don't want to be typecast as like that cute kid my whole life. I want to like mess some stuff up. Yeah. Give me a bad boy role.
Was it post Home Alone?
It was post Home Alone because I think Home Alone was like his first major role. And like, yeah, because it was like 91 or something like that. And it was him and Elijah Wood. And Elijah Wood played the better son, I guess.
The better son. I can't believe my parents let me watch that movie. It was terrifying. And I think I watched it 100 times.
Well, I think it's like, I mean, the theme of this podcast really, if anything, beyond the Golden Girls, is how much unsupervised television and movies we watched when we were kids.
Nice.
So,
yeah. Nice.
This is why this podcast happened, because no one was watching us.
It's, I mean, yeah, if you're unsupervised, your favorite TV show is going to be Frasier.
So, I watched Frasier on a bunk bed.
Can you imagine unsupervised TV today compared to unsupervised TV in 1990?
Oh my god.
Netflix, just like...
You know, whatever the TV equivalent of Grand Theft Auto is.
Yeah, it's just some 8-year-old just watching Westworld.
Black Mirror.
Yeah. 6-year-olds are just like, nothing is fun anymore. I just watched Black Mirror.
I don't know about this pig situation.
Daddy, I'm overcome with ennui.
I identify they watch with Shoshana on Girls.
So then she goes upstairs. Sophia is like, give me a minute, woman. Let me go upstairs by myself, where the Puerto Rican guy is somewhere hiding. And so he should have
like right in the middle of like the ghost scene, he should have like picked like he should have been like under the bed and like stuck his head out and been like, don't steal stuff.
I thought you were gonna be like, like, he should have popped out with, like, a sheet with two eye holes cut out. And then, like, I am Sal. I am not Puerto Rican. So, that whole, the whole Sal thing. Okay, Sal looks nothing like his young Sal. Sal looks like, old Sal looks like young Sal was beat in the face with a 2x4 every day. Like, he doesn't look anything like that.
Well, it was weird. It was weird that they went with a different Sal and a different Sophia, like, for the young flashback, I guess. Yeah.
I guess they thought it was too... I mean, I know that the actress that plays Sophia was the youngest of the Golden Girls, but apparently... still old, too old to play very young Sophia. Yeah. So.
And they have played themselves as young.
Huh.
Yeah. But
in the past. But this time they were like, we need completely new actors. We're running this life, guys. We can't do this this whole makeup thing. The young Sal, I would have been down with that guy. He was hot.
He seemed like a good dad. I get it.
He was a good dad. Hey, yeah, a good dad is hot.
Hey, Anthony, you have to understand what being married to a sharp, quipping woman like Sophia will do to you by old age. It just does things to your face, you know? That man has been beaten with a verbal stick for at least 50 years, you know, by the end of his life.
Yeah. So. But he looks like he was turning into Voldemort, like, compared to that guy. Like, it's just like, it's day and night.
I don't know. I thought old Sal was charming.
I did too.
I liked him.
Yeah, he was, old Sal.
he was charming. It was just...
Except for his technique of drawing spunk out of his former wife by talking about other women. Yeah.
That was weird. I was like, you're gonna, jealousy is gonna cure your Alzheimer's.
Right.
That's what you're, there's that spunk. you being angry is the key to your memories. Like that? Why is that a thing?
Yeah, I might have gone in a different direction with that, as in the writer's room.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all they needed was a little bit. That's all the doctor called for is go back home, change your diet, and be consumed by jealousy. By sexual jealousy.
And imagine your late husband in heaven having a threesome. Like, that's...
With what? That bitch Gloria.
With Gloria and Charlemagne?
Charlemagne.
And God with his great car.
God definitely has a Tesla.
Yeah.
Is Charlemagne a historical figure?
Yeah. Or... Yeah. He was like...
He's a writer.
What did he, like, take over? Was he one of the, like, emperor conquerors of Europe? I should stop talking because I do not remember my European history, and I'm just going to get myself in trouble in a podcast forever.
Charlemagne was a woman?
No, it was a guy. I'm pretty sure he was a conquering emperor, but yeah. I don't want to go any further than that.
Because yeah. I thought right, he was right? saying
yeah,
that.
Yeah. I thought maybe you would know. Yeah. yeah, he was, I knew he was some kind of like European like figure.
He was all Gloria ever wanted.
I thought
that's all we know. That's all we need to know.
Right.
That's all we need to know.
That's all.
Yeah.
I thought Charlemagne was a woman's name, first of all.
Oh, it's a nice name.
It's a very feminine name.
Yeah.
And so I thought Gloria. I thought the implication that two lesbians got to heaven, and I like that.
Gender is fluid.
But then,
especially in heaven.
Gender is fluid. Yeah. Charlemagne might. Who knows? And so Yeah, you hear that? You hear that, Trump supporters? Gender is fluid in heaven! Okay, and so...
I wonder how many Trump supporters we have listening to this.
none. Probably none. and so, who knows? You don't know.
Yeah, I think there might have been some. Trump supporter.
I think... I'm not going to say Trump supporters don't listen to this podcast because I met a few fans and I don't know their background. You know, they're from middle America. Okay. So
keep listening, guys.
Yeah. So Sal disappears, blah, blah, blah. And then Okay. Can I talk about how Dorothy is kind of rubbing her memories in her face a little bit?
Yeah, like she's memory shaming.
She's standing in the house and she keeps saying things like, there's so many memories in this house. And I'm like, dude, your mom is having problems remembering. Why are you being this way? Like, why are you rubbing it in her face?
Mm.
I don't know. It just, that made me mad.
Also, are we actually supposed to believe that Sophia lost her spunk for a moment? If she lost her memory, she would have nothing but spunk left.
Yeah, there would be nothing but spunk.
Yeah, she's...
She was never not spunky.
Yeah, she was always spunky. She was spunky this whole episode. Yeah. She had lots of good one-liners, and she was being herself, I think. Yeah. Right. I mean, you know, the scene with Ghost Cell was relatively sweet, and for 1990, that was a pretty good ghost dissolve, I thought.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah. So the next scene, Blanche turns in her paper.
Wait, we gotta get back to this part where she opens up the closet door and sees the heart. Did we miss that? Or did we?
I think that's at the end.
Oh, okay, but
I'm out of order. Okay,
it's okay. She does find it. We'll just go over. This is a quick scene. Blanche turns in her one page. She got all the data she needed. She got all the demographics she needed. All the phone numbers of men she needed, and she's just.
Yeah.
And she's like, She's changed her heart.
Yeah, she decided. She believes, oh, I had no idea how much healthcare costs for older people.
Yeah, like, how old are you? Like, excuse me, you are living with women who would complain about this every day. Like, you had no idea, really? None of these people in the house are AARP members or in Medicare.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I was just kind of surprised at the end. I was just waiting for the reveal at the end that didn't happen, that she said she did the work, but she actually didn't do the work. And she had...
I was waiting for that, too.
Yeah.
I was a little bit surprised that she actually went through with it and did all the work. And the implication, I think, is that she actually did. She just wanted to get paid a different way.
And the Rose had no idea that she did the work. And the Rose had no idea that she was on the phone for 8 hours telemarketing.
Like, oh, yeah, that's true. Like, yeah. Like, how many phone lines do they have in the Golden Girls universe?
I'm telling you, everybody's residence is too big. If there's one bit of analysis I'm bringing.
Yeah. You work 12 hours a week.
Yeah.
And then half of your money is going to your hair. Like, how do you survive?
Anthony, that haircut, though, I mean, really, it's so good.
It's very, very Lucy, by the way. I keep bringing her up. Yeah. She's in my brain now.
Yeah. Well, this is a Lucy sewed.
Yeah. And so maybe we cracked the case of whoever was writing this, thinking about I Love Lucy. Dorothy, okay, so that scene is over. We go back to the house, and Dorothy barges in, and she's like, "We gotta." Oh no, not she barges in, but then the guy comes in, and he's like, "Oh," she's like, "Mr. Martinez needs to go ice skating with his family, so we need to stop wandering around his house unescorted," And then he comes in to grab the ice skates, opens the closet door, and there's that sign that Sophia's been looking for, this carved heart with "Sal loves Sophia" in the back of the closet door.
Yeah, very sweetly.
I thought it was sweet.
Yeah, liked it.
Very sweet. A little serial killery. Handwriting.
It's also kind of weird that the Puerto Ricans did not paint over that at all.
Yeah. Maybe they were like, "Oh, this is cute. I think I'm going to leave this here in my ice skating closet." But yeah, it was nice gesture.
Also, is that something that dads with families that are husbands do? They like carve the inside of their closet door. Isn't that some kind of high school-y stuff?
It was very high school-y. Yeah,
but it's high school-y, sweet. As you know, it's his own apartment. His own million-dollar apartment.
Yeah. This million-dollar apartment, I'm gonna do whatever I want to the doors. I thought they were gonna be like we switched the doors or something like that.
You know, the reason they were always able to put meat on the table is because he had all those sausages in the closet.
That's right. That's right. He used to keep the sausages in the closet.
The salami.
That's why she thought, the salami. The salamis.
Well, what's important, guys, is that he carved it big enough for a camera to be able to zoom into it from far away. That's the important part.
Yeah.
Okay, so Sophia ends up, the final joke Sophia says is, I knew it was either the kitchen or the bedroom. Either way, I knew it was a room that I was good in.
Sassy till the end.
That was great. Yeah. All right. Did we miss anything?
No, I think we did well. I think we covered it.
Yeah. One thing I think we missed. They're going through the photo album, and they look at Dorothy's prom picture or Dorothy's birthday or quinceañera or whatever.
No, they're thing looking it was. At something. It's like some kind of event, and then Sophia says, "I can't even remember your prom," and Dorothy goes, "I didn't go to prom, Ma." And Sophia's like, "Oh, I know. I remembered that. I just wanted both of us to feel like crap."
And then there was the Phil joke where he's like, "Oh, look at that chiffon dress." And then Sophia says, "Yeah, Phil always knew how to make an entrance."
Good old Phil.
Good old Phil.
Our off-camera cross-dressing relative.
All right, so I think we did it, guys.
Yay!
All right, so this comes out on, this always takes me a bit. So 30, I think this comes out on December 14th. So I'm so happy we had you, Jeff, finally.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for being here. It was really fun to do it with both of you.
Yay. And you've been sort of a pseudo producer as well, helping us with tech, with live shows, and I don't want that to go unnoticed. So I want to mention that you've been a huge technical part of this podcast, and it's very much appreciated.
Thank you.
Even the non-live shows, the beginning, from the beginning to now, the entire thing, you've been there to give us technical assistance, and so thank you for that, and I hope the listeners appreciate that too.
Oh, thanks.
You better appreciate it, listeners. or else
we'll sick Sophia's non-existent twin on you. maybe even a ghost version. Let's
bring it what all if together, there's folks. An episode there's her sister sort of looks like her, so I think you may have seen an episode with her sister. Yeah. Very possible.
That could be it. You're filling in the gaps for me. I just, you know, I don't really know what's up in the entire Golden Girls universe. There's like a lot of world building that goes on. You know, there's like the robots and the board and the theme park.
Who's a host? Who's not?
Right. Spoilers. Yeah.
So this comes out December 14th. Is there any shows or venues you like to promote, or any certain thing you're trying to? You've been working on any projects?
Sure.
Go ahead.
I mean, this isn't really, I don't know if there's any Golden Girls crossover here, but if you happen to live in Phoenix, Arizona, I'm a jazz musician. I've released a CD called Strange Beauty, and I'm having a CD release party on Saturday, December 12th at 7:30 p.m. at Phoenix's jazz club, The Nash. So if you wanted to come out to that, you could certainly come out and see me, and we could talk about how you thought Sophia had a twin too. In the separate. Yeah.
Yay. All right. And Genevieve, where can people discover you?
All right. Well, you can discover me online. I'm at Genevieve Rice on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And also, my next thing that's coming up, I'm producing the Phoenix chapter of What a Joke, which is a ACLU fundraiser, and it's going to take place January 19th to the 21st in cities throughout the United States, and I think a few cities in Europe, and we're putting on a show at the 19th in Phoenix at the Valley Bar. So...
Nice.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. Oops. I just realized you said December 14th, and I talked about an event on December 10th. So, more ghosts. That event's going to be gone.
You talked about your album, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, if you want to talk about Sophia, too, and, Yeah, you can just write to Jeff Lipman.
Yeah, you can find me somewhere. Yeah. You can
write to Jeff.
Right. We can have a chat about that.
Yeah. So, and yeah, that's it for me.
And I'm at Anthony DeSimito on Twitter and Instagram. And I'm going to be at December 4th. I'm going to be at Flights on December 20th in El Segundo, California. And then I'm going to be December 27th at Wendy Liebman's show.
Oh, nice.
Locally grown.
Very nice.
Yeah. And that is at it's a very Italian restaurant in Studio City. It's called like Ciao Bella or Mushrooms.
Salvatore's.
I was going to say it's called Old Ghost Salvatore's.
Old Ghost Salvatore. So come out.
Old Ghost Salvatore's. We have the best salamis in our closet.
You can carve your lover's names on our doors. Okay. And along with our own individual Twitters, the podcast also has a Twitter. And as at Thank You For Being a Podcast, but as an acronym, at TYFBAP, at TIFBAP. You can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or any other platform you should listen to us today. Music is by Mike Dennison and Brian Korkernack. Hop on down to iTunes. Give us a positive review. 5 stars would be preferred. And that's a lovely thing you loved about the podcast today. And we would love you so much. We'll read it out loud on the podcast. How about that?
Nice.
If you do that, we'll read it out loud. Yeah, that'd be nice. I just said it without even asking the co-host.
Yeah, I was like, that'd sure. Be okay.
But all right. So thank you everyone for listening. The next episode is episode 17, and I actually have the title in front of me, and it's titled Like the Beep 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 of the Tom Tom.
Damn, very intense.
That is
so once again, I get title. To miss the music episode. Okay, guys. Right.
You missed the music episode. All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and have a beautiful day and or night. Yay!
Gonna stuff a chicken.
Gonna stuff the chicken.
Like my mama taught me.
Like my mama taught me.
Gonna take the chicken.